your Spirit. I pray tonight that God, Lord, that we receive a revelation of you and all that you are. I pray to God, Lord, that we go beyond just knowing you as a Savior. But God, Lord, we know you greater than that. We know you more than that, God. Pray for our hearts to be open, our ears to be open, God, Lord, that we can receive. Lord, we give you glory and praise. In Jesus' name. Before everybody leaves, you sit it down, but Janie's got something to share.
Give me one second. I gotta gather my thoughts for a minute. Okay. Can everyone hear me? I know I'm really quiet. Not really. Okay, so this past week I was sent to Gettysburg for a training, and there were several things that happened that kept deterring our trip. My coworkers and I, all four tires went on our company van, so we rushed around to get them fixed before we left. The hotel, the roof collapsed, and they called us and said, "We have to separate some of you and put you in different hotels. Is that okay?" And we were like, "Yeah." So we're all thinking, okay, like, we're not supposed to go. But we got in the car, and we set out to go. And every time we go on a trip with my company, I make them all stand and pray with me over the car. I just want you all to know. So, and they were a little bit scared because of the tires. And I said, "Guys, I'm blessed and highly favored. You guys are, do you understand?" So I make everyone hold hands and pray over the company van. And I want you to know, I work with a couple atheists, and they hold my hand and they pray over the van with me. I just want y'all to know that right now. Okay, so we set out. Three times we almost had an accident. Three times. So we're like a half hour, 40 minutes from Gettysburg, and my phone rings, and it's my daughter. And she says, "Mommy, I don't want you to get mad at me." And I said, "What's the matter?" "I was just in a four-car accident." So some of you know that. Some of you might not know that. So my heart sank. And I was like, "I'm in Gettysburg. My baby just had an accident." And a girl was on her phone, smashed in the back of her, smashed her into the cars in front of her. But the fact that she was living and breathing, I was not in a complete and total, utter panic. But, you know, you talked about family, Kel. And we need to know how important it is to have family. Because I made phone calls. I wasn't there. I'm how far away. But I made phone calls. The first call didn't go through, but that's okay. But I called my church family. There was no hesitation. Two of my friends, Michelle, who's not up here, she's downstairs, and Kate, were at the scene of the accident immediately. They were there. They were with Becca. They were taking care of everything. Our pastor, our daddy, called me, or he texted me, "Do you need me to leave Pittsburgh right now and go there?" I said, "No, Kate and Michelle have it. It's all good." But he would have left Pittsburgh and went to be with Becca. I know he would have. So I was like, "No, you got stuff to do. They got it. But it's so important to have that family. Because without that family, we need to understand and know how important each of us are. Each one of us, we are so, so important. And I'm sitting there in Gettysburg, and I told my boss, I said, "I need a minute. I need to go outside." And I was sitting there, and I'm in a place where there was so much death and devastation, and how many fathers, sons died on the land I was standing on. And I was sitting there praying, and I'm like, Lord, I just want some perspective. And God said to me, this is how I feel when my children keep me at a distance. And they're going through something, and they're keeping me at a distance. But that's why I have you. That's why I have you. You go. You go. That's your. I send you. Because there's people that you can reach. Just like there's people, just like Kate and Michelle reached Rebecca without hesitation. And we need to understand. Now, I was going to turn around and come home. Kate and Michelle both said, we'll come get you. You want me to come? We'll drive to Gettysburg right now. I said no because I feel like I'm supposed to be here. I don't know why. So the last day of the conference, there's a congresswoman who gets up to speak. And this congresswoman is talking about God. And we're at a conference, and I'm thinking, I can't believe she's getting away with talking about God so much in this home visiting conference. But she was, and she was talking. And God said, when she's done, you have a word for her. And I was like, okay. Yeah, he did one of those. Sure I do. And he said, when you're done, you have a word for her. And I was like, yeah, right. Okay. But when she was done, I waited for everyone else to kind of dwindle out to the next seminar we had to go to. And I went up to her and I said, I have a word for you from God. And she looked at me and she said, don't you go anywhere. I have to talk to two other people. You sit right there and you wait for me. So I said, okay. So I went over to her after, well, she came up back to me and she took my hands and she said, girl, I'm ready. You give me what you got. So I started to pray for her and I started to speak of her, about Esther. And she started to fall to the floor and she started crying. And I started to talk about the order of God and how she's in a place of order. She's in a place where she is going to change things. And that is why she is where she is. And that is why who she is. And I started to just pray for her. And she's just like down, buckled down. And she gets up and she said, I am terrified. And to listen to her speak, you wouldn't think this woman was scared of anything. And she said, I'm terrified. And I asked God yesterday, what am I supposed to do? And he took me to the book of Esther. And he told me, that's what you're supposed to do. And she said, when you come up here and you said that to me, she said, my election is this week coming up. She said, and you just gave me so much encouragement and so much faith, and I'm going to go where God sends me. And that's why I'm telling you, it is so important that we be obedient and we're there for each other, because we have to be there for each other. We have to be that voice that maybe they might not hear otherwise. And I thought about Becca's word. I don't know if anybody was here for the graduation thing for the seniors, but that was Becca's word, that she's going to be a voice and she's going to hear and she's going to know. And she's just like her mama, I'm just going to tell you. But I thought about that word, and God said, and this was back to Tuesday, and he said, I just gave her a word. It's not going to go void. So you just need to, you know, you, I have it. And we have to know that he has it, and we need to be obedient and go where he sends us, because even if things get in our way, we got to keep on pressing, and we have to be there for each other and continue to be family, because this is family. This is not just the building we come into. This is not just, you know, by the wayside. This is our family, and we need to understand we need each other. And don't let anything come between family. Nothing. Because we need each other. And that's pretty much all I wanted to share.
Listen, hey, when you were speaking, I knew there's something in my spirit from this morning, but it came right here when you were sitting there, that you sat before God and you were asking him for what did you say? What word did you use? Perspective. But it's actually revelation. See, because when we ask God for revelation, he reveals who he is. That's all we need. Is a revelation of who he is. And God revealed who he was, and you were comfortable with that because you stayed. Because why? Because you were revealing what he revealed to you about him to somebody else. That's powerful. Come on, amen. Amen. Come on, let's bless the Lord. Thank you, Jane. Thank you. Amen. Hallelujah. Amen. Amen. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Bless the Lord. Amen. Hallelujah. Listen, I want to say something to you, the praise team. I want to say that never take this lightly, because I want you to know that it's powerful, because you are the ones that are ushering people to stand before God. And it's such a powerful thing to do and to understand that you are drawing people by your gifts to God. And I just hear the Lord saying a sweet, sweet savor. It's a sweet scent that He's receiving. And people follow that. People need someone to lead them in worship. Somebody needs them to bring them to that place to have a revelation of God. So just know when you're up there, know that you're leading, you're bringing people to a place that they can receive something from the Heavenly Father. It's powerful. Amen? Amen. Come on, give them thanks. Amen. Amen. Thanks, Dave. Awesome. Amen. Amen. All right. Well, I won't keep you long because you got strawberries, but I just want to share something. I just want to go in with what they were just saying there. What we just said there is getting a revelation. We'll wait for everybody to go ahead and exit. Don't everybody leave. Big graduating party tonight, so. What I want you to see tonight, just for a moment, is, all right, I want you to understand something. I think it's powerful that we get that understanding, because everywhere in the Bible, do you know that God met somebody where they were? And the Bible says that God supplies all my riches. He supplies my needs according to His riches in glory. So I just want you to get something. I want you to know that God desires to reveal who He is to you. And I want you to know that that's powerful, Steve, because God, we need to always be in a place where we're seeking God so that we can find out who He is for the situation that I need. Listen, do you remember the prodigal son? Do you remember him? Do you remember where he was? Remember, he found himself in a pit with the pigs. Amen? He found himself in a pit with pigs, and he found him in a place separated from the Father. And then all of a sudden, I want you to know that instead of looking for a reason, why am I in this situation? Why am I here? Blah, blah, blah. He stopped and began to get a revelation. Listen, get this. A revelation of who his Father was. Because it says that his Father, he began to think about who his Father was, about what his Father had, that his Father had more given to the servants than where he was, that he gave to the servants lived better than he did in his Father's house. He began to get a revelation of that, and it caused him to move. All right? Amen? Caused him to move. So I pray that, you know what, that we get a revelation in the time that we're in. Seek God for revelation. Don't worry about the reason. Come on, amen? Don't worry about the reason, because the reason will never change. You can find out the reason for a situation and it won't change anything. But you get a revelation of who He is in the midst of a storm, it'll change everything. Come on, amen? When the disciples got a revelation that Jesus was in the midst of their storm when they were in the boat, they got a revelation of who He was when He spoke to the winds and the storms. Remember that? He spoke to that. They got a revelation at that moment. Wow, You are King of Kings and Lord of Lords. You're bigger than my storm. There's nothing greater. When you get a revelation of God over your storms, it changes everything. Come on, amen? You'll stop struggling with things, trying to find out why, instead of saying, Lord, I need a revelation. Amen? Give me a revelation. Amen? If you got time, look up that song by, who's that? Third Day. It's called Revelation. Oh my goodness. It's an awesome song. It's a good song. That's a good song. Amen. All right. So let's just go ahead and, I'm just going to share with you, let's go to, where are we at here? Oh, yeah. And remember last week we were talking for a minute. Luke 8, where we were talking about remember Jesus got out of the boat? Remember? We talked about what last week? Change. We talk about anytime there's change, there's always something's going to confront you. When there's a change to something good, when you're changing and leaving one place behind, say shoreline. They were leaving one shoreline to go to another shoreline. And sometimes it takes longer to get there than normal. Sometimes it's shorter, but sometimes change takes a while to get there. But you got to move. You got to move whenever God says move. You got to just move and accept it and walk with it and get a revelation of who He was. And that's what the disciples got, because they got in the boat. And because they got in the boat, they got a revelation of who He was in the midst of a storm, because they're about ready to face the storm. Listen. I want you to know the Bible says He doesn't want you to walk through the valley of the shadow of death, and I will be with you. We got to know He's with us through these things. So when they were getting ready to enter, what happened? They got to the shoreline, and all of a sudden, here comes a naked guy. Demon possessed. Remember that? Come on, funny situation. Here comes and got chains on, all this stuff coming, and they're confronting the change. And all of a sudden, these disciples were about ready to face something new. There was a new horizon. Something was changing. But God the Father was revealing who He was. That not only is He the God over your storms, but He's the God over demons, hallelujah, and spiritual places. Things that are exalted in high places. Things that are holds people in strongholds. That He is the King above those things. Amen? Amen? How many guys, let me give you a quick, just a keynote. God has never fallen off His throne. He has never fallen off the throne. He sits upon the throne. He's unmovable, unshakable. He's King of Kings and Lord of Gods. He is forever. Amen? King forever. Amen? So let me see. So here we go. And listen to this. Remember how that guy Jesus, that man got a revelation of who Jesus was? Changed everything. Says that He found Him at His feet. He was worshiping Him. He changed His whole character. That's what happens when you get a revelation of who He is. So what happened next was, He began to go. He wanted to go with Jesus. And Jesus told Him, He says, no, you go. He says, and stay here. Go back to your house. You know why? Because He had a revelation not to keep for Himself. Just like Janie, just like we said tonight, that she stayed there. Why? Because she had a revelation to give to somebody else. Amen? I want you to know that God wants you to reveal who He is. That's His desire so much. And we just do it in worship. We do it in praise. As we reveal, there's a revelation of who He is in worship. So as He was on the at that place, it says, abide here in the house. But next verse, I think towards the end of this, I think. Keep going, I'll show you. Keep going. A little more. Keep going. Keep going. Yeah, just keep there. Yeah, keep going. Keep going. Oh, yeah, here it is. And it says, and for they were taken with great fear, and He went up into the ship and returned back again. Next verse. Now the man of whom the devils were departed besought Him that He might be with him. But Jesus sent him away, saying this, return to thy own house. Show how great things God hath done unto thee. And He went His way and published throughout the whole city the great news Jesus had done for him. Let me say this real quick to you fathers. Amen. I want you to know that God, we need to give a revelation to our house, to our home, to our family. Wives, you need to, as you get a word, amen, you need to take it back to your home. Amen. You need to take, whether you're married or single, you need to take the revelation that you got and take it back to your homes and reveal it to your children. Reveal who Jesus is to them. Amen? That's what we're called to do. But Jesus had done it. So He left, and He left that place. And here's what happened. Next verse. And it came to pass, I love this, that He came back again. Say He came back again. Listen, I want you to know that the first time He came, there was a tremendous problem that He faced. Amen? There was change, and something was pulling against them. Something was trying to stop them. It was confronting them. But they came to the same place again, and things were different. I want you to know that God wants you to break through the change in your life. You just got to get through that first part. That person, it's hard sometimes to press through that first part as you're entering into something new. Amen? It's hard to get past that thing that's confronting you. But once you do, you're not going to have to face it no more. Amen? See, God used the Pharaoh to come after the children of Israel, but they were never going to face Him ever again. Once they went through that moment, they never had to face Him anymore. Amen. Do you know, I want you to know this. See, God will not let go until He lets you use Him to confront your enemies. Pharaoh, Moses, remember Moses? He ran away from his enemy. He was afraid of change. And God met him and says, no, you're going back to Egypt. Are you kidding me? I'm going back to Egypt? I don't want to go back to Egypt. I don't want to go there. I changed from a place. I don't want to be at that place. But God says, no, I'm going to give you a revelation who I am, that you can go back to that place where you failed, where you were afraid, where Pharaoh put those people in bondage. And I want you to go by my name. I'm going to give you my revelation of who I am and go back to that place and cause those people to get out of that place. Come on, amen? That's good. Thank you, Kelly. Thank you. Listen, and that came to pass in Jesus' return, and the people received him gladly. Do you know why they received him gladly? Because of that man that had a revelation. See, God wants to use you. Man, look to your neighbor and say he wants to use you. Wake your neighbor up and say he wants to use you. Come on, he wants to use you. Amen? He wants to use you to reveal who he is to other people. Do you know why? I want you to know that here's the bad thing, that sometimes people don't have a revelation of God and they're trying to reveal who he is. No revelation of who God is. They do it without love. They do it not believing that God is love, or not knowing that, not experiencing that. And they try to reveal God without that love, without that revelation, and it hurts people. Come on, am I right? It hurts people. That's called religion. And it says, and the people receiving God, and they were waiting for him. They were waiting for him. They're waiting. I want you to know that, listen, we got to take hold of the moments that God has for us. He came back again, but I don't know how long that gap was. I don't want to miss the moment that God has for me, for him to reveal who he is to me, because I might miss the miracle that God has for me in the revelation of who he is to me. Amen? Next verse. It says, behold, there came a man named Jairus, and he was the ruler of the synagogue. And he fell down at Jesus' feet and besought him that he would come into his house. Listen, this was powerful because this guy was desperate for God. He wasn't waiting. He had a revelation of who Jesus was, that he was the God of miracles. Amen? He was the God of miracles. And he says that I need you to come to my house. Listen, we need to be at a place where we're seeking God for those that are with us. Come on, our family members, our friends, our neighbors, those ones that are lost. When you have a revelation, you need to look back and reach back to those ones and pull them forward. Amen? And it says, so he says, for he had only one daughter and about 12 years old. Say 12 years old. 12 is a powerful number in the Bible because it speaks of order. It speaks of an order. And I want you to know that God does things in order. He does things the way that he does. And there's an order that was taking place. And she lay dying. She was dying. So she had this disease, and she, I don't know how long she had it, maybe from birth, but she had this disease, and it's been 12 years. But I want you to see the significant sign here that we can understand that something else was happening at the same time that this girl was sick in bed. She was suffering and not having a revelation of who Jesus was, that he was her healer. He says, but he went, and the people began to throng them. They began to surround them. Listen, what did I say? Whenever change comes your way, there's something that's going to try to confront it. Amen? When God's trying to do something in your life, I want you to know that you need to prepare your heart and say, I'm not going to let the enemy, hallelujah, try to persuade me, pull me apart, keep me separated from the Father. I'm not going to let any issue, say issue, cause me from getting my miracle in my moment. Come on, amen? What did we say issues were? Remember, do you remember you used to get issues? Remember magazines? Remember those things? Used to order them in the mail? Do they still make those things? Yeah. And you could order them, because I know we have the internet and everything. But you order them. And what do? You subscribe. You subscribe to what? To issues. And every month you get a what? A new? But listen, if you quit subscribing to it, what happens? Randy, say it one more time. When you're not paying for it no more, when you're not asking for it, what happens? They stop. I want you to get this to understand that issues stop when you stop subscribing to them. When you stop asking for it, you stop looking for it. And I want you to see the revelation, the understanding here that this was taking place right here before him, because there's people with issues that kept subscribing to the same thing over and over and over, and there was no change. And it says, and a woman having an issue of blood for how many years? Not a coincidence, for 12 years. She was there for 12 years, which had spent all of her living, stay here though, upon upon all the physicians, neither could she be healed of any of these diseases. This woman had an issue for 12 years. How long was that girl suffering? 12 years. She was 12 years old. And I want you to see this for one second. But if I was this father, my only daughter, and if I have this issue, she has an issue, she's dying in bed, and all of a sudden here comes somebody. You've been to Walmart before. Somebody get in front of you in line. Or how about you've been waiting at that line you're supposed to merge 14 miles back. It says left lane ends. And you get about 20 feet to the end and here comes this guy coming up on the left hand side. Signs for 14 miles telling you the line ends in 14 miles. And here he is trying to get in front of you that you patiently waited for your place, for your time to get in your right lane because you're doing the right things. And here he comes. Don't act like religious. Come on, that upsets you, don't it? Come on, amen. Where someone jumps in front of you, you've been waiting, you've been doing the right thing. But I want you to think about this guy. Here's this guy, and all of a sudden he's got this thing, and she steps right in front like he didn't mean anything. But I want you to know that, listen to me, there was something desperate about this woman. She was tired of her issues. Sometimes you just got to get tired of your issues, and you got to not worry about whatever. You got to get in line. If you've got a button line, you got to jump in line. You got to climb over everybody to get there. You just got to get there so that issue stops. And where was she getting to? She was getting to Jesus. I want you to know that she was prescribing, she was subscribing to Jesus. She was reaching for Him to get a revelation of who He was. There was something within her that was telling her she needs to just touch Jesus. Come on, somewhere along the line, somebody told her that, listen, here's the thing, if you just touch the hem of His garment, you'll be healed. She got a revelation. She goes, wow, I believe what you say. I'm just going to do that. Sometimes you just got to reach out. She got to get beyond that border. She got to get beyond that chain. She needs a change in her life. But she's got to get past all the people. She got to get past all the opinions. And she got to get beyond her issue so it stops. Amen? But I want you to know that she spent everything she could on her physicians. I want you to know that God will let you use up all your resources. He will patiently wait for you to use up everything that you got that you think you could do it on your own. I wish He wouldn't do that, but I want you to know that God does that. God does things in order. God will step back and let you do it until you begin to say to yourself, Lord, consume all that I am. Lord, I lay this down. I'm not going to carry this no more. I don't want this issue anymore. He'll let you spend all your resources so that you find out and know that He is all you need. Amen? And it says, neither could be healed of any. He says, and came behind Him and touched the border of His garment, and immediately, say immediately, the issue of blood staunched. It stopped. That thing that was running, that thing that wouldn't stop, stopped. Next verse. It says, and Jesus said, who touched me? And when all denied, Peter and they that were with him said, Master, the multitude thronged thee, pressed, and sayest, who touched me? He says, are you kidding me? Everybody's touching you, Jesus. He says, no, no, no. But somebody touched me with faith. I want you to get this, that sometimes people come to church every week. But are we touching Him? See, because there's something different. Am I pressing in the midst of worship? Am I pressing in? Am I stopping everything else and laying everything aside at that moment, saying, no, I don't want this stuff on my heart. I don't want this heaviness. I don't want this, whatever this thing. God, Lord, I'm going to lay it aside. That God, Lord, that You are my focus, God. Lord, that I'm touching You. That I'm reaching out for You in the midst of this turmoil, wherever I am. God, Lord, I need to touch You right now. I need to touch You. It says, and I perceive that virtue, say power, has left me. Power has gone out of me. Next verse. He says, and when the woman saw that she was not hid, she came trembling and falling down before Him. I want you to know this and everybody to know this, that you can't hide from Jesus. He knows what you're going through. And He's waiting for you to touch Him. He's waiting for you to what? Give Him permission. Do you know that we have to understand that I received Christ into my heart as my Savior? He doesn't force His way in. I receive. Say receive. I receive Him as my Savior. I receive Him as Lord. Just like the song we're singing, Consume, I give You permission. I give You permission. Amen? I give You permission, God. I give You permission in those places in the hearts, in my heart. I give You permission, God. And it says, falling down before Him, she declared unto Him before all the people that what cause she had touched Him and how she has been healed. She had a revelation. Next verse. It says, and He said unto her, daughter, be thou good comfort. Thy faith has made thee whole. Go in peace. Her faith in Him, her revelation in Him healed her. Come on, I want you to know that sometimes you say, yeah, but I've been searching for my healing or whatever this. No, no, what? I want you to know that doesn't change. Don't look at a reason, get a revelation. I want you to know that Paul said that. Paul said, you know what? He says that I have a thorn in my side, and I've asked God three times or twice to remove it from me, and it didn't move. I don't know what that was, whether it was a physical problem or whatever that was. And God answered him back, my grace is sufficient for you. And it was enough what He said to him to get him through that thing. I want you to know that we don't always understand that. I want you to know that sometimes I believe that I've went through things in my life that I know that it's made me compassionate. Come on. I know what pain's like. Come on, somebody help me tonight. I know what pain's like. I know what addiction's like. Come on, amen. And sometimes I don't need to find out the reason why or this or that, but I just need to have a revelation of who He is and why I went through that, that I can reveal who He is in the midst, that He breaks the addiction, amen. Come on. That He loves me through it all, that He's never stopped loving me, that He never will stop loving me, that you get that revelation. So it says, and your faith has made me whole. Go in peace. Go in peace. Don't worry about it no more. Don't take this on no more. But go in peace. Next verse. It says, and while ye yet spoke, there cometh one from the ruler of the synagogue in the house, saying, and the daughter is dead. Trouble not the master. My daughter is dead. I want you to see this and understand something. That while he was taking care of an issue that should have been dealt with 12 years ago. I want to help you tonight because I want you to know that it's significant that we deal with issues. Come on. We deal with issues and we know what they are. We need to hear the Holy Spirit in our hearts. If you've got conflict with one another, with people, you need to deal with it because here's why. It's stopping the next generation from experiencing a healing because we can't get over our issues that we've been dealing with for years. God, that's been the church. The church has had all kinds of issues, and they've taken up all the time, and Jesus is dealing with the church's issues instead of having the opportunity to touch the next generation because this generation still keeps going around the same old things and not dealing with the issues. Listen to me, I want to deal with issues in my life. I don't want to be disobedient. I want to listen to the Holy Spirit when He speaks to my heart. That I deal with the issues that are in front of me. That I touch Him to get healed, to get a revelation of it. That I can get over the mountain, hallelujah. Or I can watch the mountain be moved out of my life and not be a mountain. But have the issue stop for 12 years. But I want you to know that He's bigger than that. Amen? The issue was dealt with. Jesus healed her, and now He had an opportunity to touch the next generation. I want us to get this and know, church, let's not spin tires. Let's seek God. Let's press in our worship. Let's press in prayer. Let's press in that place, not dealing with our issues, going through the same things over and over again. And it says, and He said, the daughter is dead. Trouble not the master. Next verse. And He says, but when Jesus heard it, when He heard it, I want you to know, you don't need to have anybody else hear your problems. Come on, amen? No one else needs to hear your problems. The only person, the only way you get changed is if Jesus hears your problems. Take your burden to the Lord. Amen? Cast your cares upon Him, for He cares for you. Whatever you're going through, you need to give it to Him. Sometimes we take all of our burdens, all our issues, we take them somewhere else to a physician, and they can't do nothing for you. We need to take it to Jesus. Come on, amen? We need to stop taking our issues to our name. Well, I just this and that. Oh, I just blah, blah, blah. Stop. Take it to Jesus. Heavenly Father, I get this. I don't want to murmur. I don't want to complain, God. Lord, this is bothering me. But God, I'm going to give it to You and let it go. Amen? He says, and He answered Him saying, fear not, believe only and shall be made whole. Listen, just don't worry about it. He says, I will make this right. That's what we need to hear from Him. Next verse. It says, and when He came into the house, He suffered no man to go in to save Peter and James and John and the father and the mother of the maiden. It says, and they all wept and bewailed her. But He said, weep not, she is not dead, but she sleeps. Come on, amen? She sleeps. I want you to know that, listen to me, I believe in my heart that even though this woman, it seemed like she was deterring him, He's bigger than that. Come on, amen? He's bigger than that. Do you remember when Lazarus died? Do you remember when he died and they asked him 3 days beforehand or 4 days, whatever it was, to hurry and come before he dies? And he's tarried. He stayed there for 4 days, 3 days. And he says, it's good that I didn't come. I'm glad that he's in this place, that he's passed, so that the glory of God will be revealed. This is what he's saying. Listen to me. Don't ask a reason. Why didn't you come, Jesus? Why weren't you there? And he says, don't ask that, but that you might have a revelation of who I am. Listen, until this point, Randy, they didn't have a revelation that he was the God of the resurrection. Come on. That he was resurrection life. Amen? That he was resurrection life. But this moment, at that moment, when they went to that tomb, they realized and seen that he was resurrection life. Knowing that she was dead, and they laughed him to scorn. They laughed at him. Next verse. He says, and he put them out. Listen, I love this. Listen, I want you to know that sometimes you just got to put it out. Sometimes you just got to get it out of the house. Whatever it is, come on, whatever's deterring you. Sometimes you got to push it out that's keeping you from what's yours. Your blessing. Sometimes these, they're laughing, they're scorning, they're causing disruption. And he says, you know what? You got to get out. He says, and put them out. There's some things that we just got to have the effort to put out of the house. What is keeping me from knowing him is the God of resurrection. Amen. And he says, and he called the maid and he said this. He said, arise. I think it's powerful because he said he called the maid. He called specifically her because if he had called somebody else or if he would have called just the dead to rise, everybody in that town would have got out of the grave. He says, and her spirit came again and she arose straightway and he commanded to give her meat. He fed her. He says, and her parents were astonished, but he charged them that they should tell no man what was done. And then he called the 12 disciples together and he gave them power and authority over all devils to cure diseases. Listen, I want you to know that, listen, what did he do? He says authority of all devils and to cure all diseases. These disciples that were walking with him had a revelation of him as healer. They had a revelation of him over devils and demons. They had a revelation. You know, I know this wasn't going to be long tonight, but I just pray that you understand and know that we don't just need a reason. We need revelation. We need a revelation of who he is. Amen?
It's interesting that you're preaching on God providing all of your needs tonight, because just had a real powerful experience with that this week. You know, we're a cleaning business, and middle of last week, one of our large accounts called and said, you know what, hasn't looked that bad with a lot of things going on. We're just going to skip our rotation this time. And I'm looking at the bills that need to be paid, and I'm looking at the money in the account, and I'm like, okay, mortgage is due next week. I'm looking at what we got coming up. What's going to say? It ain't happening. And I remembered something that Apostle Valentine said when he was here at the end of May. And it was almost a passing remark in the rest of what he was saying. But you know, he has such a really matter of fact way of just stating things. He's like, he looks at things from a different perspective than a lot of us often look at things. And you know, we'll look at, you know, God's law, and we think, you know, what there's all, it's all, you don't do this and you don't do that. Most of my life I felt like, you know, it's like, you know, you look at the Bible and it's like, you know, it's all saying, well, you know, you don't do this, you don't do that, you don't do this, you don't do that, you know. You get to feel like that's the Christian life. It's all a bunch of don'ts, you know. You know, that's what living the Christian life is not doing all the bad things. But he said that, you know, that God's promises are just as much law as all the and as all the don'ts, you know. And he said, you know, that in his life, when he, you know, he never worries about not having enough. He never worries about his finances. He said because it's because as a child of God, it's illegal for him not to have enough, because God promised to provide all of your needs according to His riches and glory in Christ Jesus, and that is just as much a law as everything else. That all the don'ts that we try and tiptoe around and try and be good about everything. But he said, you know, it's illegal for me to suffer lack or want in my life. I have to have enough. It's a law. It's illegal for me not to have it. So I'm looking at this, and that came to my mind. And I said, you know what, God, it's illegal for me not to have abundance and sufficiency in my life. So, I mean, as we're going through, you know, day to day, doing our jobs and collecting the checks and paying the bills, and I'm like, there's... And I know the mortgage is coming up, waiting for like the last day that I can pay it without paying late charge, you know. And so, I'm like, okay, you know, I know it's get auto drafted on this day, and then our cell phone bills get auto drafted on this date and that date. And I'm like, okay, I hate to dip into our savings, but I'm gonna have to. But I, you know, sometimes we just have to do that when we run short. So I get up Thursday morning, and I'm like, okay, how much money I'm gonna have to pull out of the savings to make up what we're short. And pulled up my account on my phone, we had $2.28 in our account. Okay. And the mortgage was paid, the cell phone bills came out, everything was paid, and we had $2.28. We didn't have, so it's like, okay, God, you know, that was powerful to me because I was sure you were going to have to dip into our savings to make ends meet. And we finished the week Thursday morning, $2.28 in our account, and we had a job that day. We were getting a check. And it's like, oh God, you know, $2.28, but it was God's promise. We did not suffer lack, you know. So,
amen. The Bible says, "We're two or three witnesses." Those dollars are two witnesses of God's glory. Amen. Come on, Hallelujah. Just stand to your feet, please. Amen. I just want you just to come downstairs and just take 2 minutes. I'm done early. Amen. You believe that?
Look at that.
Done early. Come downstairs and have the strawberries. Eat some of the strawberries the kid got for the fathers and the mothers. You're allowed to have them too. Amen. But I just want to pray for all of you. I want to pray that, you know what, that we just focus on that. I want you to hear this and remind yourself of this word. Because sometimes I feel that there's been a little bit of weariness in the house. Come on. I feel it. I see it. And I want you to know, whenever you feel that, you got to stop and say, Lord, I really need to pay attention to what was said tonight. Amen. See, because I want you to know, because distractions. So I really want you to pay attention to what God said tonight, because I believe sometimes those are the most important things to hear of what God was declaring to us tonight. That we're here for a reason. Amen. We're here for a reason. So I pray tonight. Heavenly Father, I pray tonight, Lord, your blessing upon your children, God. Like Randy said to God, Lord, it is illegal for us to be in lack, because you are my God. You supply all my needs according to your riches and glory, God. Lord, you shall provide all my needs. Thank you, Lord. And I pray to God, Lord, that tonight, to God, Lord, that we walk in that revelation of who you are, that you're a provider. I pray that we walk in the revelation to God, Lord, that you're our banner, you're our shield, you're our strong tower, God. Lord, I pray to God, Lord, that we walk in the revelation to God, Lord, that you're our healer, God. And I just thank you for that, God. I pray tonight to God, Lord, that we just walk in that as you are our Heavenly Father, like the prodigal son went back home because he had a revelation that his father had more than enough. And Lord, I thank you for that, and we give you glory, and we'll declare that we are. Amen. Don't forget movie night Wednesday. Come on downstairs. Yes. Come on, let's stretch your hands out. Amen. Lord, we pray right now to God, Lord. We speak over this, God, Lord, the baby, God, Lord. I pray for safety, security, God, Lord. And I pray to God, Lord, just a breakthrough, God, Lord, a release to God, Lord, and be perfection to God, Lord. And we thank you for it. Let your shield be upon her, God. Protection, God, over her and her family. In Jesus' name. And be with her husband, Clint, God, Lord. Please, in Jesus' name.